we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I lost the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Does anybody know?
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Tokens Radio Show.
Good afternoon.
It's been a bit. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. 2024.
Yes. And we have Pat in the production booth.
Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. It's always good to have you here, Pat.
It seems like it's been a while since we been in-house.
Yeah, getting a date with you is pretty tough. So. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm here today. Anyway.
All right. Well, thank you.
And we see Christina just walked in. Hey there. Good to see everybody. And it seems as though everybody's a little stuffed up.
I think the crud, as I like to call it, has made
crud,
it. The crud has made its rounds with everybody, I think, pretty much finally. Or it's not good, but, yeah, holidays were trying times for some of us with that.
Yes, indeed. Well, and anyway, welcome to the Tokens Radio Show. My name is Christy Matthews.
And I'm Linda Kent.
Yeah, great. You know, gosh, there has been, Bitcoin has just all of a sudden taken off.
Yeah,
it had a little bit of
that.
A break, but, you know, it's going good. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes.
And I think it's going to go more so shortly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll have a prediction here pretty soon. So if you'd like to chat with us, you can find us on X or Telegram at Tokens Radio Show. And you can find a copy of today's show and our previous shows, news and resources, on our website at tokensradioshow.com. And, of course, you can find a copy of today's show right here on KCNR 1460.com. It's KCNR 1460.com, so you can find a copy here of this show and any other show that plays here on KCNR, and that's pretty cool, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of good information that comes out of this station, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about Bitcoin, of course, right?
our fave.
And then we're going to sprinkle in a little bit of conspiracy, too. And we'll talk a little bit about the impending Bitcoin spot ETF. Everybody's wondering if is it going to happen this week or not. We're going to give you our prediction here in just a few moments. But first, here's a quick market update and then a word from our sponsor. Currently, Bitcoin's at 44,182,
wow,
just right before show. Ethereum's at 22.42, XRP's at 56 cents. That took a dip. Buying opportunity, not financial advice, of course. But it had been hanging around 62, 63.
Yes,
it dropped down to 60. It's been there for a long time, and all of a sudden, 56. XLM's at 11.75, or it should be 0.1175.
There you go.
That is 11 cents, nearly 12 cents, not
very
not
interesting.
$12.
Bitcoin, yeah. I just find so fascinating, the numbers.
Me too.
You know, it's like, boom.
Yeah.
We used to look at it, you know, like 15, 16,000, and now we're talking 40. We're in the 40s.
Well, that was just a year ago.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, our sponsor, of course, is the Queen of Dragons, sponsored the show today. This local establishment takes great pride in delivering top-quality items at competitive prices. They ensure the safety and freshness of all of their offerings through rigorous testing. The Queen of Dragons has a diverse range of premium products, freshly packaged daily. They're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., conveniently located at 5044 Chastidam Boulevard. Stay updated on their deals by following at Queen Dragons on X, or contact them at 530-276-9771.
Yeah, and if you'd like to join us, You can contact us here at the station by calling 530-605-4567. And I think you'd be talking with Christina. Hey, Christina. See, she's got the headphones on and she's behind the mic.
Hello.
Happy New Year, girl.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
I want to say that I started my new year and I bought some crypto on Binance.
Nice.
Yeah, so I decided to kind of start having a backpack in case.
Excellent.
Nice.
So you're doing a little hodling, are you?
Yeah, like step by step. It's good. Not a lot, but
hey, that's where you start. It doesn't matter how much.
And just like also, I figure out if to be sending money to my parents in Ukraine is always like will be easier through crypto. There will be less.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yes. You'll have to let us know one of the first times you do that, how long it actually takes.
I already did it. It was a few seconds.
Ah, a few seconds from here to Ukraine.
Yeah, they were just like immediately transaction.
Sweet.
Were you sending Bitcoin?
Yes, I was sending Bitcoin.
On the Lightning Network, right?
Yes, and they was able to do the withdraw the money through the Apple Pay, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, perfect.
It was easy.
Right on.
Nice.
Yeah, I love hearing that. Good
that is
you.
Way
thank
cool.
Thank you so much for your program.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, thank
boy,
you.
She is with it. I'm telling you. This girl is just going, going, going.
Now, if you want to call in, you will talk to Christina.
Yeah, there you go.
So that nice, sweet voice there, Christina.
Thank you so much.
Yes, absolutely. And you can also find us in the chat room at kcnr1460.com. Love to have you join in. So we might as well start off the show with a little bit of a warm-up about our friend Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, so, yeah. She is our BFF, isn't she?
Yeah. So it wouldn't be a Tokens radio show with a little bit of Elizabeth Warren slam. Okay. So here we go. All right. Let me see if I can get this to play. And here we go. Are we playing, guys?
Sorry. Recently, she was talking about positives of CBDCs and how they can help make Bitcoin pointless. What she's actually doing, she's propagating the CBDC because she doesn't want to see the state lose its grasp on currency.
There are so many moves behind. They don't even understand that we're, like, playing chess yet. And, like, this is to be expected of, like, a bunch of remedial government people who are going to be parasitic and leech off of other people and thinking that that's, like, a form of production. These are our enemies because, like, this is almost just outside of their capacities of thought. Like, they think credentialism is the actual expertise of a topic, and that, like, if somebody has a credential from, like, some field in Yale, they must be brilliant in that field, as opposed to, like, perhaps there's a whole series of alignments that actually make them, frankly, like, anti-theatrical to that field and preventing its development in a number of robust ways, because nobody can step outside of the safety of saying something that could be seen as radical or different or challenging to the general narrative.
I know we hear Elizabeth Warren going on. I just saw recently she was.
Okay. Well, one of the biggest things that jumped out of that towards me was credentialism.
Yes.
So what is credentialism, right? Let's just think about the word in and of itself. But, you know, really it values formal qualifications. It means you need to be educated. Sometimes excluding actual ability. So let's just sink in for just a moment.
Okay.
So in other words, you go to school, you're taught how to think, but do you actually have the ability
to think
when you have to kind of think about things, all right? Because they've taught you how to do it. And
they know the best.
It's a controversial hiring practice with both advantages and drawbacks for individuals and society, if you think about it. And reasonable people can disagree on when credential requirements are reasonable versus excessive. I think if you probably a very few areas of work, maybe a doctor, you want them to be credentialed, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I can think that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
a lawyer.
Maybe a lawyer, but there are many self-taught lawyers out there, right?
Well, there's a difference between lawyers and attorneys,
okay.
So there.
Yeah, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a mathematician, but I'm sure you could be self-taught. But
yes,
probably a very small percentage, right? Maybe an engineer.
Depending on what you're engineering.
But I think everything else, pretty much, you might be able to learn on YouTube. and be have capable abilities. Just a side note. Okay. We ran into a friend of ours the other day on this particular subject. Boy is 20 years old, says, Dad, I just don't want to go to college.
Okay.
And I said, okay. Well, what are you going to do? He goes, I can learn everything I want on YouTube. I don't need to go to college. And be, his words, told how to think and taught what they want me to learn when I can go learn what I need to make a living.
That's
and he
true.
Went ahead and started 3 businesses as a 20-year-old young man. And he says, I can always go to school if I need that credential.
I know. I hear that all the time about, well, I don't have a business license, or I don't have this, or I don't have, so I can't be in business. That's nothing to do with it. You don't have to have a business license to be in business.
Right, you don't.
You don't have to get a college education to have the smarts
right.
to do a business or be good in a certain field.
Right. And the whole point of all of this and why we played this and why it's related to Bitcoin is that Elizabeth Warren can't stand Bitcoin. The reason is because you don't need the government or credentialed people to use or transact or have Bitcoin even run on its own.
Right.
They want CBDCs so that credentialed people can decide how you will spend your money and where you will spend your money or digital money.
Right. Yes. They want total control.
Yes.
So that makes it okay because, you know, they have that little piece of paper that says they're good and they know. That doesn't make it so. So anyway.
Yeah. Yep. So there you go. That is kind of an interesting little take and a little warm-up for where we are today. And so we came across an article that seemed pretty cool. And it was written about an economist. His name is John Forbes Nash. And kind of an interesting fellow.
Speaking of mathematicians.
Yes. Yep. He was known for his works in game theory, differential geometry, and partial differential equations. He introduced the concepts like Nash bargaining and Nash equilibrium and ideal money. And he won a Nobel Peace Prize as well in economics for his foundational work on non-cooperative games. Now, he struggled with mental illness. You may have seen something about his story if you've seen the movie A Beautiful Mind.
Right.
But here's what's really cool. Nash's game theory relates to Bitcoin. And that's what's really cool about this article. In fact, I should reference this article. It's in Bitcoin Magazine, and it's on the primary issue. It's called The Benefits of Cooperation. It's Nash Bargaining and Bitcoin. And what it talks about is that he developed this concept in 1950. It's called bargaining, and it aims to find the fairest way to split gains between participants in financial transactions. So he introduced an axiomatic approach to the social sciences in analyzing bargaining scenarios. Now, this is going somewhere. And then he proposed an idea of ideal money that would be intrinsically free of inflation.
That's a big statement right there.
Yeah, is it feeling like Bitcoin?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was critical of central banks arbitrarily targeting inflation rates.
No.
Kind of where we are today.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, I think it begs to question when Satoshi wrote the white paper and either, you know, Satoshi the person or Satoshi the group of people came about, I believe that all of these principles, like the Nash principles, was part of this as Nash bargaining axioms.
You think that was actually like integrated into the white paper and how Satoshi maybe came up with some of his ideas?
I think it was based on these principles because the Nash bargaining axioms, there's 4 of them. Now, it's the Pareto effect. It's called Pareto efficiency.
Pareto.
And it's the coin distribution follows a power law with majority minted early on. And this is in Bitcoin, where there was a ton of Bitcoin that was minted early on.
Mm-hmm.
And as every halving occurs, there's less minted with the halving.
Right,
right?
Which is a very interesting concept in, when you stop and think about it.
Right.
Because, well, besides Bitcoin, what else is there that is has been developed that way?
So, exactly. And Pareto's law is the 80-20 law. So this fits Nash's view of fairness to where you have the majority minted early on.
Right.
Then he goes into scale and variance. So this relates to how Bitcoin adjusts its difficulty, and it keeps supply steady over time. So if you think about the algorithms that we've always talked about, and what do miners do?
Mm-hmm.
The miners, they solve algorithmic, very complicated algorithmic problems, right?
That's what they do, yeah.
And when you have more difficulty, it's because there's more activity, there's more miners that are working to support the network, and they're also trying to win the block reward.
Right.
Okay. Now, when the difficulty has been adjusted down, it means it's much easier to solve those problems. And so it will help stabilize the block rewards so that the system runs like it's supposed to every 10 minutes with a block reward. So let's say something took 11 minutes or so, okay, to solve. Then they have to adjust it down so that the block can be solved within 10 minutes. That's the difficulty adjustment.
Right, I got
okay?
So. Mm-hmm.
So that was part of Nash's proposal for money supply that would be stable. Then he talks about symmetry. So Bitcoin's decentralization gives all participants equal bargaining skill.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the big things with Bitcoin, is it's equal across the board. It doesn't matter. And we've talked about it several times in different areas. It doesn't matter. It's the same no matter what. It doesn't change to fit a certain narrative or anything.
Right.
This is it.
Or to fight inflation.
Or to fly. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then his last axiom is independence of irrelevant alternatives. And what that means is that by adding a third party, it doesn't alter Bitcoin's outcomes. So if you have a third party involved, so you have a peer-to-peer transaction and you got the third party, like the exchange, for instance, it doesn't alter Bitcoin's outcomes.
It can't alter it.
Right.
But with fiat money, it can make a big difference in the outcome.
Yes.
With a third party involved in there.
Well,
or other
there are
currencies.
Many parties when you're moving cash around, there are many intermediaries.
Yeah. Stop right. And think about it.
Right.
How often does it actually I give you money, that transaction?
Unless it's cash.
Unless it's cash.
Right.
You go to the store, almost everything anymore is a credit card or debit card or whatever. So that involves at least two or three more people.
Or hops along the way.
Or hops.
Yeah.
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 So that one transaction.
Yeah, exactly. So you go to Visa, you might end up in a intermediary bank that's going to process that transaction, and then eventually it makes it to your bank. There might be a couple more hops along the way before your bank is actually debited for that amount.
And when you stop and think about it anymore, I mean, it's pretty quick with credit cards and stuff, but like American Express, have you ever noticed, and it's been this way for a long time, it can be 30 or 60 days before that transaction actually gets the funds put upon it.
Oh, that's efficiency, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see any problem that could arise because it's taking so long for them to actually get their money?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's why they have such a high service charge, but that's another issue.
And maybe that's why a lot of places are get where they don't accept it more and more, only accept certain credit cards or whatever.
Sure.
Because the processing time is taking longer and longer for them to get their money and the fees.
So Nash's bargaining requires cooperation between parties. So what does that mean? Only two participants, reducing complications. That is Bitcoin. You only need two. Binding contracts, agree joint plan of action. You have communication and access to information needed, so you can always look on the blockchain. And then it fits Bitcoin's transparent blockchain and peer-to-peer structure. That is a perfect fit.
Yeah, most definitely.
And then he talks about the benefits of cooperation approach. So what that means is that there are less disputes as contracts are more trustworthy. So that might be the introduction of smart contracts. Win-win outcomes enable welfare economics. And in coalitions, more achievable through collaboration. And they could provide coordination for complex global issues. So think about how Bitcoin plays into all of that.
Right. And with Bitcoin, one thing about it is there's, the interpretation is the same.
Right.
What it is, it is.
Yes.
It's very transparent. It's peer-to-peer, but at the same time, everybody sees the same thing.
Right.
So you can do whatever you want, but it won't change it.
And it doesn't in the third party aspect.
Right.
You don't have to have a name because it's not necessary.
Exactly.
You just have an address.
Mm-hmm.
So this last part is very interesting. So Nash said the essential problem of money is honesty.
No.
Oh, my gosh. That's probably – I'm glad this was the last part because that's the best part.
Right.
So Bitcoin proof of work rewards honesty.
Yep.
Okay. What does that mean? So proof of work, in the Bitcoin network, you need to have 6 verifications. So you would have miners that are all over the world, right? And the ledger is distributed to every miner. In fact, anybody who's running a Bitcoin node has a copy of the ledger.
Right.
So it just needs to be verified 6 times. And so nobody can cheat. Okay?
And you can't
change
it.
You have to be honest.
Yeah, you can't change it.
Well, they can try.
They can try, but they can't.
That would be a fork, right?
At the same time, they all have to agree upon it.
Right, exactly. And it makes the inflationary abuse of power harder.
Ah, you mean I can't manipulate it and make it what I want it to be.
And then finally, Bitcoin, the system, acts as an impartial arbitrator. Back to proof of work, the verification process. So when you look at this whole thing of Nash cooperation theory, is that I can see why Bitcoin works the way it does. I'm sure that the developers, the engineers that put Bitcoin together, probably relied on some of these applications or a lot of it, because look at how many times digital money had tried to be made in the past.
Right, which we know before Bitcoin was actually, I wouldn't say created, that's not probably a correct term, but there was years prior to that, there was attempts over and over and over again, and they could almost get it, but it wasn't quite there.
Right.
It just wasn't quite there. It was still missing something. So they'd have to go back to the drawing board and start again.
We were missing proof of work, and it was centralized.
Right. But how long did it take them?
A long
time. Yeah, quite a few years before they figured out that that had to be part of the equation in order to make it work.
And here we are. So very complicated subject. Hopefully we did okay getting that through.
Hopefully it didn't get you too messed up in the weeds. But
go to Bitcoin Magazine and you'll see this article. It's really cool. It's got graphics in there. It's called The Benefits of Cooperation, Nash Bargaining, and Bitcoin.
All right. And with that, I think we're going to take a break. I know that we've got a lot more we want to cover after the break, but you are listening to Tokens Radio Show on KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Queen Dragons or visit www.queenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Backed by popular demand, fresh and local flower powered by Pinnacle, Shasta County's premier local cultivator. Package fresh and daily with a wide variety and best prices and deals in town. And they can package larger sizes and quantities on site. Available only at the Queen of Dragons Dispensary. Winter hours are Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and they deliver. 530-276-9771.
Umpqua Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Featuring live animals showcasing their natural survival techniques used for hunting, foraging, adapting, and surviving in the wild. This educational animal show features mammals, reptiles, and free-flying birds. Saturdays from 2 to 2:30 inside the Mill Building at Turtle Bay. Included with paid admission, free for members. Great for animal enthusiasts of all ages. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing up this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Casa 1910. If you've been curious, perhaps even tempted, to try a Mexican puro, this is the stick to get. An absolute pleasure to smoke, and honestly, one of my all-time top tens. The Casa 1910. Get yours today, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Good day and Happy New Year. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. For our first news brief of 2024, we bring you a developing story out of rural Shasta County. The Tiny Oak Run Elementary School District is facing potential financial insolvency after receiving a rare negative, quote, ongoing concern rating, citing a lack of student immunization records that could severely impact state funding, alleged open meeting violations, and claims of a hostile work environment. The district superintendent denies the allegations, but the County Office of Education stands behind the facts and aims to work with the district to resolve the issues. If unresolved, the funding crisis could force the school to shut down. We'll keep you updated as more details emerge in this unfolding story. Up next, when an NFL legend shows up to coach sports, middle schoolers listen up. This week at Gateway School District in California, former pro defensive end Art Still ran an adventure camp teaching football basics and life lessons too. Still spent a dozen years in the league, primarily with the Kansas City Chiefs, so he knows the game. However, the camp goes beyond passing drills to build teamwork, resilience, and discipline in the students. Still recognizes, quote, "We see a lot of dissenting within the family structure," end quote, compared to his youth. By investing time with the campers, he aims to provide structure amid those societal changes. Through sports instruction and mentoring, Still strives to empower students. Reading opens doors to successful futures, yet many children lack the literacy skills to walk through them. Tomorrow, Shasta Executive Director Wendy Dickens will present on the benefits of promoting childhood literacy in Reading. Literacy fosters individual and community growth by enabling comprehension and practical application across learning modalities. Supporting early childhood literacy invests in children's future success.
Register at Eventbrite.com by searching the Right to Read registration. In our last brief, retired Reading Police Lieutenant Alan Long has declared his 2024 candidacy for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 2. Long has over 30 years of local law enforcement experience and served 5 years on the Grant Elementary School Board. He wants to provide pragmatic, fiscally conservative leadership to the board. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief this week. As always, become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
My dear, I've got good news to shout in your ears. The long-lost dollar has come back to the fold. With silver you can turn your dreams to gold. Oh. We're in the money, we're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money, the sky is sunny. Old Man Depression, you are through, you done us wrong. Oh, we never see headlines.
You're going to like that. Good choices, because I didn't put the music this week, I'll be honest.
That's
that is
great.
All Christine in there. That was good. That was really good.
We're all about money, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That's terrific.
Yeah, I've got to have some fun.
Yeah,
that
I'm
was nice.
Have a fit here.
I'm telling you, something about it. Every once in a while, you got to have a fit, and it's always at some point when you're on the radio. You know?
Yeah.
Let's hope we can make it through the next segment without too much problem, you and I.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this next one, this is what's really cool. We talked about this last year, right around when FTX blew up.
Yes.
And what's really cool, you can
good
find
Sammy Boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And remember Moonstone Bank?
Yes.
Yeah.
That little bank up in Washington that
just
was Farmington to start with?
Yeah, just way out in the sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this article was originally posted in the Unlimited Hangout, and that's Whitney Webb's own publication. She's an investigative reporter. And this magazine, let's put it this way, she's done so much of a deep dive into what's going on with the cryptocurrency market, CBDCs. She was even anti-Bitcoin for a while, and she seems to have turned a corner. And,
right.
And, but she's still leery of all digital currencies. So her this article that we're sharing with you, it's called Unmasking Farmington, FTX, and Fluent Finance in the Coming Digital Dollar.
Hmm. Yeah, this was one of the very first banks that started to use crypto for payments.
Well, and why is that? Well, it seemed like there was a reason for it. So there's this little bank called Farmington State Bank in Washington, rural Washington, right? And it was acquired and pivoted to crypto, like Linda was just saying, by a person named Jean Chalapin. And they named it Moonstone Bank.
Which is kind of crazy in itself when you think about it.
Yeah, it is. And now, you know, the collapsed exchange, FTX, and Sam Bankman-Fried's operation, that exchange and Moonstone Bank and a fintech startup called Fluent Finance were building bank-issued stablecoins.
Do you see any problem with this stablecoin coming out of this bank with FTX and them all kind of like in the same pot?
Yeah. Now, Fluent's partnerships and their goals were to accelerate a regulated stablecoin ecosystem serving as a synthetic CBDC.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Yeah.
CBDC. As long as they have control over it, as long as we are making, quote, air quotes, tokens, our crypto, it's good.
And this is something Elizabeth Warren would just get really excited about.
Oh, yeah. She would be happy, happy, happy.
Yeah, so back in 2020, Chalapin acquired Farmington State Bank, turned it into Moonstone, and got approval by regulators, and this was deemed highly irregular.
Yeah. It
was somebody paid off?
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing, and we've seen it with other banks, how you can be bankrupt, so to speak, and all you have to do is sell it and change the name, and you're all good.
Did I mention that this is our conspiratorial story?
No.
Okay.
You did in the beginning that we would go over something
this
like that.
This is a conspiratorial story. Yeah, just so you can just kind of think about the timeline here. And, of course, it's conspiracy. Most of it is true.
Yeah, I mean.
Some of it is
has
not
a
all.
A lot of true factors to it.
Yeah, some of it just hasn't played out yet.
They're still working at it.
So in the early part, the first quarter of 2022, FTX linked Alameda Research and invested millions into Moonstone, and they connected it to FTX-affiliated bank Deltek and a Tether stablecoin.
Yeah. Pretty interesting is why they made that partnership in millions. I mean, we're talking a lot of money that was switching hands here.
Right.
Remember, FTX didn't know anything about what Alameda was doing, had no concept that Alameda was doing anything illegal. With a little small bank in Washington.
And this was, let's see, FTX crashed. This is just earlier in the year before it crashed. FTX went down, right?
Before it went total south.
And then in October 2022, the fourth quarter, Moonstone partnered with a previously unknown fintech called Fluent Finance, and they were building bank-issued stablecoins. I believe that they're in the European Union, the EU. Fluent had deep connections to big banks like Citibank and blockchain builder R3. So you could see how all of the pieces are coming together. Fluent then expanded to the United Arab Emirates, collaborating with its government to develop deposit token infrastructures to accelerate CBDC adoption using R3's CBDC platform.
Imagine that.
You see how it's coming together?
Yep.
Are you following us, Christina? Isn't this interesting? And then the Moonstone Fluent partnership likely intended to transition the same questionable players behind Tether to Fluent's future trusted stablecoin ecosystem. And then as governments like the U.S. favor privately issued approved stablecoins over direct CBDCs, Fluent is positioned to retain banking interest control over digitization and benefit banks via a synthetic CBDC. So go back to the Nash a cooperation of bargaining, right, where you don't make this stuff up in Nash's system. This is all, we're going to put this player together with that player. We're going to use this stablecoin and a blockchain builder so that we can make our own.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kind of like what was happening in people's garages when they were just creating cryptocurrency not too long ago. Remember, Chetta?
Yeah, I was just going to say, remember, Chetta?
Yes.
That everybody was running to because they thought they could make money, and some people did make money. But it wasn't what it appeared to be, and they lost money, too.
It
was a farce.
It almost sounds like central banking. When you think about it, this is no different than what we've done with quantitative easing, quantitative tightening, debasing the currency, debasing is expanding a monetary system, right? And this is the same thing.
Right.
It's not built on anything. There's no proof of work. It's just proof of poof.
Yeah, proof of poof is right. I think they thought, well, we saw how Bitcoin, algorithms worked and all that and how this worked. We can do it ourselves, and we can be in control of it because we know more. We're better. We have more knowledge. We'll have more control. And never looked at that's why Bitcoin took so long to happen.
Yeah, for it to actually work and
right.
continue to run, because it runs on its own.
Right.
There is no influence. There are no intermediaries. It's not privately issued in any way.
And you can't, you know, decide how many is going to be released, when it's going to be released, so to speak. We have halving in Bitcoin world. But it's not like, okay, well, let's see. It's January of 2024. I think we should just manufacture some Bitcoin.
You know what I mean? I thought we'd been there, done that.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It was called FTX and many of the others. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
You had, oh my gosh, it's out of my brain, but Do Kwon with his algorithmic stablecoin that went completely belly up. And that was right around the FTX time as well.
Right.
So we don't need any more of this. And so we need to keep an eye on this Moonstone Bank and Fluent Financial and just watch what is going on with our governments. We don't, you know, if you start hearing some of this coming out and you're hearing maybe our elected representatives saying, you know, how cool it is to have a CBDC, I think it's really important to tell them you don't want that at all.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, because, you know, running on a complete digital currency that is not controlled by the people, that is controlled by a central government, just means at some point in time they could just shut it off.
Right, and in saying that, it'd be no different than the fiat system that we're using as it is. And also say, people, just because we like Bitcoin doesn't mean that's a CBDC. It's two separate worlds.
It's not a CBDC at all.
You know,
so
that's our elected officials have to know that we've got to educate them, or they need to move on or something, because that it's two separate worlds. And it doesn't work that way.
Right. Well, just the CBDC, I mean, Central Bank Digital Currency.
That's yeah, you would enough. Think. But, you know, I've talked to people that think.
They don't know.
Yeah, that, well, it's cryptocurrency. Yeah, it's cryptocurrency, but no, it's not cryptocurrency.
Yeah,
you know?
There's Bitcoin and then there's crypto. And then, and let's be specific, there's Bitcoin and then altcoins.
Right.
Right.
And it's kind of like gold and silver and the dollar.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Is it all money? Yeah, kind of. But is gold and silver different than the fiat dollar? Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of difference there.
Those, the other two has store of values.
And the dollar has zilch, none. It's
yeah.
just paper.
Yeah. In fact, there's probably more value in the paper. I mean, it's very expensive to buy the paper.
I was watching, talking about gold and silver, I was watching a program this morning anyway, where they took a gold bar and they squished it.
Yeah.
It was worth $45,000. You know, they were doing some scientific testing on it. How easy it is to smash.
Okay.
You know, because yeah.
It's a soft metal.
It's a soft metal, you know, and then one guy turns to the other guy. And so what is your value now? And he goes, I have $45,000 worth of smashed gold. That's what I got. It's still the same value.
Right. Yeah. Good point.
You know?
Yeah.
Whether you smashed it or what you
That's
did
right.
with it, it's still $45,000
yeah.
worth of gold.
Yeah.
Just like your Bitcoin itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, rip your dollars in half and see if you can go spend the half of it. It won't be accepted.
Oh, yeah.
Right, but you can have your smashed gold.
Yeah, or even now, try to go spend some of your green dollars.
If some people don't accept it.
They won't even take it. They say, sorry.
That's crazy.
Do you have a debit card or a credit card? I hate that.
Yeah. Here, let me give you a purse full of coin.
Right. So that kind of brings us to our next story when we're talking about money.
Well, yes.
Is there something you...
What we haven't talked about is the spot ETF. We just kind of blew right
over
that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we should talk about that. That's big news coming up here. You know, on January 10th, which is what, today's the 7th? Wednesday. It's conceivable that we will have our first approval, and it looks as though Valkyrie and ARK Invest will be the two financials that will have theirs approved. They seem to be up on deck. BlackRock is out there. Listen,
they're trying.
There's $700 billion sitting on the sidelines waiting to get in to the Bitcoin spot ETF. And we need to understand there's a big difference between the ETF that's being traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, because that's a futures contract. Okay? That's a future. So they're trading not Bitcoin. It's not actual Bitcoin, but what the future value of Bitcoin might be, the future price.
This is different.
A spot ETF is different. It is backed by the actual purchase of Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is purchased and held by like BlackRock, ARK, right. Valkyrie, and I believe that there's 11 companies out there wanting to get into the ETF market. So that, here's what's really exciting. We promised a prediction. Financial advice.
No. Okay. Never financial advice on our program.
But, you know, Bitcoin has been a little bit volatile.
A little bit.
Especially since the beginning. But that volatility is probably going to smooth out now with the institutional players. As I mentioned, $700 billion is sitting on the sidelines.
Except we do have halving coming up. So.
That is something else, Linda.
Yeah.
That's a great point. But can you imagine all the institutions that are sitting out there clamoring to get into this spot ETF?
Yeah.
They have clients that want to buy Bitcoin, but in an ETF fashion.
Right. Have you ever seen, you know, these people that, like, work at the stock market and stuff, how they don't sleep?
No.
They have to be I was watching the program on some guy that made lots of money. Anyway, doesn't matter. That they would just spend hours on hours on hours on hours, that they didn't sleep because they wanted to be the first one in, whatever that
right.
was going to be, whatever the hot ticket of the moment was. That's how they made it happen. So to your point, there's a lot of them that are standing by that, I mean, they are just ready to pounce
right
the minute it is available
yeah.
for them.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, there was some FUD going around last
right.
week that dropped the price of Bitcoin because some pundit guru out there was saying, it's not going to happen. It's a possibility we won't have an approval this week, but there will be an approval.
Yeah. We
Whether it's postponed
when.
A little bit longer, I'm not quite sure. But here's what some information that's come our way by economist James Lavish, and he's a pretty conservative guy, and he says, you know, you have Bitcoin, it's at 44,000 today, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's making it very clear. He goes, one thing is very clear. It is not going to one time itself. It's going to go up.
It's going to be more than one time
right.
the value, at least, yeah.
So he's expecting somewhere between 2x, 2x, and 5x its current value shortly after the ETFs are approved and $700 billion comes into the market. Now, to be on the conservative side, his expectations, and, you know, that I don't know how you feel about that, but I tend to agree with that. At least double in value.
Oh,
today we're
yeah.
at 44. That would put us somewhere right around $90,000. And he's even saying the price point expectation, not financial advice, would be anywhere from like 90,000 to over 200K.
And do you, well, I'm sure you realize, but the listeners and other people, what a game changer.
Yeah.
It'll be. That's why they say, you know, this, we're coming to the time in our world and everything. This is for the change of wealth.
Right.
The biggest opportunity that we've ever had in certain ways for the transfer of wealth.
Yeah.
And like Christina was saying, you know, I only bought a little bit of, you know, Bitcoin or whatever. When you stop and think about it, a little bit. And then you multiply that by 2x, 5x,
yeah.
what that becomes.
And that's just, you know, here pretty quickly. And then,
right.
then we have the halving coming
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Right.
So the value, I mean, again, you can see where the transfer could happen like that, like overnight, especially if other things fall
yeah.
at the same time. You could, you know, I'm not saying be wealthy, and it's not financial advice. I'm just saying you can see the pattern that is starting to build or could build with the value behind the Bitcoin.
Right.
And the ETF.
You know, he goes on to say here, he goes, expect some volatility as you have these players jump into the market. So proceed with caution. And is the price, the 2X, 5X price, built in? No.
He's
saying
no
absolutely.
Set price, yeah.
It's not absolutely. It's not built in. So, you know, like when the Fed is broadcasting that they're going to do an interest rate increase or decrease, mm-hmm. the markets react accordingly based on, on how the Fed, their speak, okay, mm-hmm. what they're saying in their broadcasting, you know, their code language of, yeah, we're going to reduce, you know, we're going to ease. Then the markets go up, right? It's crazy. So, no, it's not built in. It's not baked into the number is what he's saying. And then he also says, all of the hype and confusion will make Bitcoin extremely volatile in the days immediately after any approvals and when the ETFs begin to trade, whether that is this next week or in April.
When the halving
comes about. So he's also saying he doesn't see any major weakness in Bitcoin's price as a short-term inefficiency gap that is an opportunity to buy, which is exactly what he would do. Okay. Not financial advice.
Not financial advice. Again, you can't put a cap on it.
Right. And then he says, and in the unlikely event that the ETF is not approved this week, well then, he says he's going to be adding all the way down to whatever price it reaches on an event-driven capitulation. So in other words, buying opportunity. So whether they're approved this week, his estimation, or delayed, they will be approved this year.
Right. I mean, anything like that, there's no way that you can say for sure, you know, Monday morning at 9 a.m., it's going to be approved.
Yeah.
There's so many different factors that can go in there. But we do know that it's going to get approved. We just can't call the time.
Now, does that mean that, hey, this gets approved? Or I've talked to so many people in the last week that they're going, gosh, should I get into Bitcoin? It's so high. Yes. You know, it doesn't matter where it is at this point. Get into it. If this is something you're interested in doing, start buying in. Dollar cost averaging.
Yes.
You don't put a big swath of cash into it unless that's your thing. But go in wisely. Invest a little bit at a time. Be consistent about it. And it's like we've been taught to do. You dollar cost average in. And if you're going to sell it, dollar cost average out.
Right. And just like the example I used earlier with Christina.
Yes.
Even if you only do $5.
Right.
Or $3. Whatever the amount is. It doesn't matter if it's $5, $500, $5,000. You know, whatever you can afford.
Right.
And you multiply that out. You don't think that that's going to make a difference in fear in your life? If that $5 all of a sudden is five times, has five times the value, what a difference that can make for you in your life?
Sure. And if you just keep putting in, I mean, one of the companies we love to work with is Swan Bitcoin. It's very easy to set a value that you want to invest. If you give them permission, they'll dip into your checking account as frequently or infrequently as you want by the amount that you set. We call it set it and forget it, which is what we do. And once a month or so, you go ahead and you pull your Bitcoin off of their exchange. They hold it in custody for you.
Right.
So you just take it back from them and then you custody yourself and continue to do what you're doing. It's simple. It's inexpensive. That's the way I would recommend going on it.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, in the very beginning, when you first come to me and talked to me about this, I think Bitcoin was right around 15, 16,000. Doesn't matter. And I thought, no way in hell am I ever going to be able to afford a Bitcoin. Why are you even talking to me about this? Well, and you start doing the cost averaging and little bits and see the value, it doesn't matter. I still have whatever my little pot is and multiply it out. What's your rate of return?
Right.
Stop and think about what the rate of return is.
The rate of return is, you know, at least three digits.
Exactly.
It's the last number I saw just in the last year was like 153%.
Right. And with that, I guess we're at the end of the show. Hopefully.
All right.
You guys learned something, and we will be back next week with some more information on Bitcoin and other things our communities.
Okay. Have a good day.
All right.
But he came to save the day when he wrote about the way things are and the way things are.
Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.